In contemplating this verse, one can only reflect on how inadequate all verbal communication actually is. For it is impossible for one to communicate. However eloquent, however easy the words may flow, it is impossible to communicate that depth and that experience that one can only affirm as the preciousness of Jesus Christ. For to you who believe, he is precious. Now I want to consider that theme tonight, and I want to consider first some of those items, some of those things in the Bible that the Bible calls precious. What are some precious items in Scripture? Well, one thing the Bible talks about is precious is a precious stone. For example, the stones which Solomon procured for the temple were called precious stones. The oil upon Aaron's beard in Psalm 133 is called precious ointment. The seed of the word, the seed of faith. As the psalmist says in Psalm 126, he that goeth forth and weepeth, bearing precious seed, shall doubtless come again, bringing his sheaves with him. Things or objects are called precious in the Bible. Man is also precious. All you have to do is look at Psalm chapter 3, verses 8 through 9. And you will see that in that psalm, or rather Psalm 8, where the psalmist affirms the fact that man is created in the image of God. Having been created in the image of God in Psalm 8, 3 through 8, the psalmist affirms that man himself is, as it were, honorable or to be held in a precious position. That's why your life is so valuable. Life is valuable because you and I are created in the image of God, and that is what makes our lives precious in the sight of God. We are precious because we are created in God's image. David did not kill Saul. In 1 Samuel 26, 21, he crept up to Saul while Saul slept, and he could have slain him there on the ground, and yet he just cut a portion of his skirt away, because Saul's life was precious in the sight of David. So you and I are precious in God's sight because we are created in the image of God. In Proverbs 3:15, we read that wisdom is more precious than gold. To gain wisdom is a precious commodity, more precious than the money, than the exchange of goods, than any possession you can possibly have. Parents are called precious. In Exodus chapter 20, verse 12, when it says, honor thy father and thy mother, the word honor there is actually the same word which in the New Testament is translated precious, and more frequently in the Old Testament it is translated glory or honor. So that parents are to be held as precious in our sight, or honorable, honor or hold precious our parents. The faith of Christians is precious. Look at chapter 1, verse 7 of Peter. that the genuineness of your faith, being much more precious than gold that perishes, though it is tested by fire, may be found to the praise, honor, and glory at the revelation of Jesus Christ. Again, the promises of God. Look at the next book in 2 Peter chapter 1, verse 4. It says, by which have been given to us exceeding great and precious promises. We could go on and on of those attributes, of those characteristics, of those items where the Bible talks about that which is precious. Did you know that those who hold positions in the church are called precious? I can remember, almost remember, the first time that I heard a man being called precious. And I thought it was, you know, strange to say the least. And it reminded one of a fella who perhaps wasn't all a man to be, for a man to be called precious. I admit, the older that I've gotten, I appreciate the fact that preciousness does not mean femininity, but preciousness means something else. An elder and a deacon and a pastor are to be held as precious by the church. For example, look in 1 Timothy 5:17. 1 Timothy 5:17, let the elders who rule well be counted worthy of double honor. The word honor there is the same word, timē, that is translated in other places as precious, is translated honor here. Let those be given double preciousness who rule well, especially those who deal in the word or who teach, who labor in the word and doctrine. We could go on. 1 Timothy 5:3, honor widows. Again, the word there is precious, that the church is to hold precious those who are widows in the church. Again, those in 1 Corinthians 12:23 who have the lowest services in the church, those who have the most menial job, Paul says, those are the ones who are to be held as the most precious to the church. The psalmist says, precious in Psalm 139 are God's faults. Just the thought of God is to be precious. Well, we could elaborate even more, but let's say or list a couple of things that are not precious. That which is the least precious in Scripture, that which is the least precious in Scripture is faithlessness to God. The person who does not have faith, the person who is not faithful to God, is that person who is the least precious according to Scripture. Another example of those who are not precious are those tenants in the vineyard in Mark chapter 12, verse 4, the tenants who took the servant, the son of the owner of the vineyard, and beat him and shamefully treated him, they themselves will be treated shamefully. They held that son as not being precious. Therefore, they will not be precious to God. But who, when we think of that one who is precious, who is precious? Well, we all know, don't we? The scripture text itself bears it out in verse 7 of 1 Peter 2. Therefore, to you who believe, He, that is the Lord Jesus Christ, is precious. Look, for example, up in verse 4, that He is chosen, He is precious. Look at verse 6. Behold, I lay in Zion a chief cornerstone, elect, precious. Look in chapter 1, verse 19, but the precious blood of Christ. Words indeed fail us to communicate, and only the believer in Christ can say amen. Because the believer knows in his heart of hearts the preciousness of the blood, the preciousness of the person of the Lord Jesus Christ. We can sing in the terms of the old gospel hymn, He is precious to me. Why is He precious? There seem to be two reasons why something may be called precious. It is precious on the one hand because it has intrinsic worth. That means it is worth something in and of itself. Now, I tried to think of something that had worth in and of itself, but our currency does not have worth in and of itself. Precious stones do not have worth in and of themselves. They have worth only in relation to their usefulness or the rarity of finding the stones themselves. So when we think of things that are precious in themselves, it is hard to find anything except one thing, and that is the Lord Jesus Christ. You see, Christ is precious because He alone is worthy in and of Himself. Our worth does not consist in and of ourselves, except only as we're related to God and to Jesus Christ. But listen to this. Jesus has infinite worth because He is God. He has infinite worth because He has lived a perfect life and He has died a sacrificial death and He has obtained eternal life for us. Therefore, His sacrifice, His nature, His being is of infinite value. He has intrinsic worth Himself. Remember in our study in Revelation chapter 5 where John sees a vision and the vision is of heaven and there is despair in heaven and the elders are crying out and the four living beasts are crying out, who is worthy? God has the seals, the scroll with the seven seals on in His hand. And the question is, who will be worthy to take the scroll from the hand of God and undo the seals and so secure the redemption of God's people? And then one steps up who has the appearance of a lamb that had been slain. And He ascends up into the presence of the Father who is holding the scroll. And He takes the scroll and all heaven breaks loose in praise to Him. Because worthy is the Lamb that was slain to receive glory and power and honor and riches. He is worthy. He Himself in His being, in His nature, is essential worthiness. He is precious. He is precious because of His intrinsic worth. When you possess Jesus Christ, you possess that and that alone which has intrinsic value of its own. But there's another reason why something is valuable and worthy and precious. The other reason is because of its rarity. I was reading this past week. Some of you may be taking the World Periodical, which is the follow-up to the Presbyterian Journal. And there was an article in here about Van Gogh's sunflowers. Did you see it? At the auction, Christie's Auction House in London, they expected Van Gogh's painting to go perhaps over 11 million, perhaps to 15 million. Do you know how much it sold for? $40 million for Van Gogh's painting. Now, it happened to be at the time that he had sliced off an ear, you know, and within 2 years of his suicide, so that makes the painting, you know, that worth that much more. But the point is that it is a rare experience or a rare painting. Now, there are many, many prints of that, and some of you teachers may have that print in your classroom or in the school somewhere. It's about 12 sunflowers there before you. It is a symphony of color, $40 million for the original. Now, what would you pay for the original? You see, what would you pay for the original of anything? And in this instance, what would you pay for an absolute original where there is nothing else that could compare with it, even match it, or that everything pales in the light of it? You see, Jesus Christ is the original. He is absolutely rare. There is none other like him, and there will never be another like him. Jesus told us the parable that if a man found a pearl of great price, he would sell everything that he had in order to buy the pearl of great price to own it. You see, Jesus Christ is the most rare, shall we say, commodity person that you could possibly own. And yet he is offered to you and to me. Indeed, he is precious. He is precious because of his intrinsic worth. He is precious because he is rare. He's one of a kind. To whom is he precious? The text tells us, it says, therefore, to you who believe, he is precious. Then obviously, if it is to you who believe, then those of you who do not believe Christ, the Lord Jesus, will not be precious. That goes without saying. I sometimes wonder how many folk in a congregation, and I'm not despairing about it, but I sometimes wonder. I suppose you wonder too if you're a Christian. I sometimes wonder how many folk really understand the preciousness of the Lord Jesus Christ. I sometimes wonder as I look at empty pews on Sunday night, how many people understand the preciousness of the Lord Jesus Christ? Is this all? Do we understand the precious nature of our Savior? To you who believe, does that mean everybody else doesn't believe? I'm not going to say that. I'm not separating the sheep and the goats. I'm only reflecting on what the text says. To you who believe, he is precious. The contrast is right here. Look in verse 6 on the one hand where it says, Behold, I lay in Zion a chief cornerstone, elect, precious, as Les so ably sang for us this morning, the beautiful song, the cornerstone. On the one hand, he is a cornerstone and he is a stone upon whom one may stand for salvation. But look on the other hand in verse 7, the stone which the builders rejected has become the chief cornerstone. In verse 8, a stone of stumbling and a rock of offense. You see, the choices are only two, and that is, either Jesus Christ is absolutely precious to those who believe, or he is not precious. Those are the only two choices. And so I want to draw to a conclusion tonight by asking us the question, not by pointing at the people who are not here, but let us ask ourselves, is Jesus precious to me? Is he precious enough to me for me to open my Bible and to pray daily? Is he precious enough to me that when I am faced in a situation where I could be ashamed that I am a Christian, that I will stand for Christ? Is he precious? Is he precious enough to me that I would rather lose everything I own than dishonor the precious name of my Savior? Is he precious enough to me? Is he precious to you? I know a man in a church in England named Mark McCain. He was a ruffian, much like the young man that I told you about this morning. Only this man did get in greater fights, and he was a bruiser. He was without a doubt one of the meanest men I think that I've ever read about, potentially, except possibly for a man that I heard about in a testimony on Channel 10 the other night. Not that I watched the electronic preachers, but they had this fella giving his testimony, and perhaps you saw this guy who had had his face, half of his face blown away by a hand grenade. Did any of you see that? That was good, wasn't it, Tim? We saw it, didn't we? Anyway, Mark McCain was a pagan, a mean individual. So mean, he tells a story shamefully, that one day he was coming in to eat. Supper was on the table. He stopped by the kitchen to wash his hands, and he did that. And when he went to the table, he saw that his dog had leaned up on the table and licked the food and eaten it off of his plate. This is the truth. He took the dog to the sink, and he took the butcher knife and he cut his head off right there. He would get in fights. He was a drinker and a brawler, but a man who was so miraculously, marvelously saved that one day he counted Jesus Christ as precious. This mean person. Is Jesus Christ precious to you? Is he so precious that he changes how you treat and deal with other people Is he precious to you? Let's pray.